everyone. I'm Sandy Caldwell. You are listening to episode 32 of Quilt Cabana Corner. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you're having a very happy fall. It's a beautiful day outside and it's Friday. Yay! Let's hear it for Friday. Woot woot! So, go grab your coffee, your tea, your water, whatever is your pleasure, and join me. I have three reviews today. One is of an iron, one is for a book, and the other is for a new pair of scissors I've got. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about Fitbit and fitness goals. We'll also be talking about some books that I'm reading for book club or that I've just read, and about the postcard swap. Last year, Sandy of Quilting for the Rest of Us fame and myself, we swapped some fabric postcards. And we did them holiday themed and sent them to each other right around Christmas time so that we could display them in our homes. And really it was just a practice for us to get a chance to try to do a postcard, take it to the post office, mail it, see if it arrived to each other in one piece or not, which it certainly did. And just to have fun. And last year when we were talking about it and twitting about it, several people thought that it might be a good idea to have a postcard swap, and I volunteered to do that, so we will talk about the details of that in a few minutes. First, let's start with a quick update on what I'm working on. For the last month or so, I've been working on my free motion skills. I've been working on a table runner that is going to be submitted to a magazine and hopefully picked up. I've been working on my Hawaiian Impressions series, which I'm up to 3 5x7 art pieces of that. The first one was of the blue ginger flower. The second was of the sunset, as seen from Cam 3 Beach in Maui. And the third is called Hula Dancer. So stop by my blog, www.quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog, and check out the photos of those. The next one I will be working on has to do with a pineapple. What I'm basically doing is just finding some photos from my trip and turning those into an artistic impression of the trip. Some postcard size, slightly larger memories of the trip. Just something to try out different surface techniques and fiber art. And so far it's been really, really fun. And you know, whatever, you make a mistake, you just keep going. That's the rule on these. It's really just for fun and for practice. So let's see. I also worked on a new block for 100 blocks, which I've got submitted, and the tour for that will be coming up for the last block. And I started and finished the top for a double slice layer cake and ordered a new layer cake so I could do it again. That was a Missouri Star Quilt Company video with Jenny. And that's really fun. The double slice layer cake is very fun. You're, you know, basically just cutting up a layer cake a couple times, sewing it back together, and coming up with a really nice scrappy type quilt, but it all coordinates. Let's see. What else? I have started Weight Watchers Points Plus with my mom. We began that program this week, and that's in conjunction with using my new Fitbit. I jumped on that bandwagon with everybody. I did really well with the Fitbit in the beginning. I was making myself go out and take walks in the morning. The last couple of weeks, I haven't been so good. I'm hoping that once I start really getting into the Weight Watcher diet, that I'll be more motivated to make myself go out and walk again. But I've also just kind of been busy, which is no excuse. I know, it's just no excuse at all. But I will tell you, some of the ladies on this Fitbit, man, you guys walk or elliptical or you really, really have really high step counts for the day. And that's encouraging to me. So hopefully I'll get my step counts up as well. All right, let's jump in with a book review. No, let's talk about the iron first. Those of you who know me, I am an iron girl. I go through irons. I like to research irons. I always have more than one iron going, so this is no exception. But I had purchased the Vermont Country Store dry iron. I believe the brand is Continental. And that iron is fabulous and fantastic for fusible applique where you don't want any steam. And it's great for pressing while you're piecing because you also don't want steam while you're doing that. So that is a fabulous iron. It was like $14. It's cheap. You can get it on Amazon. It's great. But it can't be your only iron because when you go to iron work shirts and stuff like that, you kind of need the steam. So I was determined not to purchase another Rowenta. I did not want Noliso. Everything I read, they leak. I've had two Rowentas, paid $100 each for them, and they leak. So I decided to try, through Amazon, for $39.99, the Panasonic NIC78SR Steam Dry Iron with stainless steel sole plate. And what I really liked about this iron, besides the fact that it has a retractable cord, and it's white and green, it's very pretty, I really like that it has a detachable water container. That's probably not the right word, but it has a detachable water tank. That's it. So it's kind of nice because you just pop the water tank out and you go in and you fill it when you want the steam in there with the water and you go put it back in. And then when you're done, you can just pop that out again. It doesn't get really very hot, so you can, even right after you finish ironing, pop that out, go empty it, because as we all know, you should not leave water standing in your iron. So I've had this iron probably for 2 months, and it does a great job. I really, really like it. It has a stainless steel curved sole plate, I'm reading from Amazon now, that trap pockets of air between the sole plate and the fabric. The iron glides smoothly and effortlessly for crease-free results. It has two levels of steam, and they both work very well. Let's see. A jet of steam self-cleaning feature for cleaning the unit and for a quick burst of steam for those stubborn wrinkles. Vertical steam. And like I said, it has a 5 1/4 ounce detachable water tank. And Panasonic's innovative mercury-free sensor gives you added security by automatically shutting the iron off after 10 minutes if left in the upright position, and 1 minute if left unmoved on its sole plate, or if tipped over on its side. So that feature, of course, no quilter really likes, but it is a good safety feature in case you're leaving the house and you're like, oh darn, did I turn that iron off or not? And as I said, it does have the automatic retractable cord reel, and the tank is easy to fill, detachable, can be removed with the push of a button. You can fill the lightweight cassette water tank anytime during operation by simply detaching it. You can do steam or dry, spray mist. Oh yes, it's got the spray mist button. So anyways, I'm pretty happy with it. I really was determined not to pay a lot of money for my next iron. I think $40 was pretty reasonable. I got it on Prime, so it was like 2-day shipping. But again, I am very happy with that as my second iron. So that's that. I also purchased in the last couple of weeks a new pair of scissors, in their Fiskars curved craft scissors. They're like a 4-inch scissor. These are curved at the end so you can really snip down and get your threads snipped off very close to your project. They are 4 inches, perfect for right by the sewing machine or by the ironing board. And they're super sharp and I love them. Amazon has them for $12.88. I want to say Joann's had them for $9 and I used a coupon. And what I was after when I bought this was really a second small pair of scissors to be at the ironing board. I have another pair of Fiskars metal scissors that are 4-inch that are also very sharp and I love them, but they're not curved. So I moved that pair of scissors to the ironing board because you always find loose threads when you're pressing your projects and stuff. And I put the curved ones near the sewing machine because they're great for the free motion quilting, trying to snip those threads. So I would definitely recommend those, especially at Joann's or somewhere with a coupon. Okay, I'm going to take a quick pause for a second while I get the book review ready, and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. So as many of you know or might know, Allison Rosen of Within a Quarter Inch is back podcasting. And she has such a lovely podcast. She's fun to listen to. And Allison also has a job as the media, as the internet marketing specialist for CNT Publishing. And she has offered really any bloggers or podcasters that want to an opportunity to review some books for CNT Publishing. So I have a book today that I'm going to review, and then in my next podcast I will be reviewing another book and a product. So the first book that I had to review is called The Quilter's Handy Guide to Supplies and More, and it's by Dawn Cameron Dick. The full written text of this review will be on my blog this afternoon in the show notes for this episode, and it will also be on Amazon.com as a review there. So I'm not going to read this review to you word for word because you'll be able to see it on the blog later today. But it's basically a book that's an overview of all things related to quilting. And it also has some really entertaining and inspiring quotes sprinkled throughout its pages. I really like the layout of the book. It's very easy on the eyes. The graphics are nice. All the tables that they have in there are very clear and clean looking. So I was excited to be able to get like an overall quilting book, because as a person who never took a quilting lesson to begin with, I can always learn something new. I think we all can. I've been quilting for almost 10 years now, and it's one of those things where you think you got stuff down, and then you read about something and you go, oh, maybe it is a better way to do it that way. It's a learning process, and I think it will be a lifelong learning process. And coming across books like these, where you get the benefit of someone else's learning curve, is awesome. It's just an awesome thing to have in your library. The photography in the book was great, and I just thought it was very well thought out. It's broken down into different chapters. The following chapters are how the book goes. Needles, threads, sewing machines, batting, fabric, bits and pieces, which is like a catch-all category, and then resources. The needles chapter is really comprehensive. A lot of information and graphs on needle types and sizes. So if that's something that you're confused about, this will really put it all in perspective for you. And you'll also probably be amazed, just as I was, that there are so many parts to a needle. It's not just the needle. There's actual parts to the needle. Things that, you know, when you have tension issues, you might not have thought about unless you've really understood how a needle is made and how it works. The thread chapter was amazing. Excellent description of what kind of fibers thread's made from and how it's made. There's a good table there indicating thread use and proper needle size. Also really good information on thread weight and usage, as well as a discussion on thread breakage, which we have all had to deal with at one point or another. And I think that if I had to say which chapter out of all those ones I've just mentioned I learned the most on, it would have to be thread. And I think it's just because you kind of take thread for granted, or maybe you just, you know, you've heard on different TV shows or magazines or whatever, but we know which type of thread for what. But sometimes it just goes in one ear and out the other until you actually go to sit down and do your project. So having this book on hand, you can just flip to that page and say, okay, you know, working on this, I should have a needle size of this and a thread, you know, that's made of this. So that was a really great chapter. The sewing machine chapter gives a review of a machine's features, its feet, cleaning, tension, tips on purchasing a machine, you know, figuring out what's important to you, what do you need. Do you need the latest one with all the bells and whistles, or maybe you just need a machine that has, you know, the few stitches that you do use with maybe a few extras. And there's also a lot of tips sprinkled throughout the book, which I don't want to read them all to you. I took a lot of notes. When I read this book, I was taking a lot of notes. But I want you to go buy the book. So I don't want to tell you all the good tips and quotes and stuff, because you should go buy it for yourself. The fabric chapter was very interesting, with a brief description of how fabric is made. Touches on the wash or no wash debate, but also on color bleeding and fading. But some of the best advice in this chapter was how to test for bleeding and what can be done about the bleeding after the fact, which I'm going to divert because I have a story. My girls are now doing their own laundry. They bring it down to the laundry room, which is just off of my bedroom, and they run it, and they wash it, they dry it, they fold it, they put it away. And they are 15, 13, and 11, so they certainly are capable of doing that task. However, one of the risks that you run with having them do their own laundry is that they might put something that's brand new and red in with their laundry, which Leah did do. So she came downstairs and she had washed her new red sweatshirt from Hawaii with some of the new school clothes that we bought. And it had little, you know, pink spots all over it. So I said to her, give me all the clothes that have pink. And I washed them in cold water with Synthrobol, and which you know, takes all the dye out of the clothes that hasn't settled into it. And also a couple of shout color catchers, which act like magnets for the free-floating dye in the washing machine. And after two washes, mostly after one wash, but after two washes, all of the pink was gone in her clothing. And I couldn't believe it, because I thought to myself, oh, this probably isn't going to work. And it was kind of a bummer, because we had just spent all that money on clothes at her favorite shop, Justice. And here, a lot of it was pink. Every last bit of pink came out. The color catcher was full of pink. So I did do the two washes. I don't know if it was more, you know, the color catcher or the Synthrobol or what, but there's a good tip for you if your kids or your husband or you inadvertently get some red in with the wash. Okay, so anyways, back to the book. The bits and pieces chapter had a little bit of everything. It covers storing quilts, setting up a sewing area, rotary cutting, rulers, basic cutting formulas, and pressing. And what I also liked about this chapter was they had several different layouts of how you could possibly set up a sewing area with your cutting station and your pressing station and your table and, you know, your rolling chair. So it was kind of interesting just to see how the author thought sewing stations could be set up with different circumstances. I enjoyed that part very much. The end of the book has a resource page with information for different manufacturers mentioned in the book. So it's a great book. I actually got the ebook copy of this one. So I've seen that it says portable on it, but I don't actually know what the size of the book is. I'm assuming it's probably a smaller resource type book. But it was a really good read. This woman, Dawn Cameron Dick, she obviously knows her stuff. She's been quilting for a long time. And with all the CNT books, the graphics are, you know, amazing. It's a book that's easy on the eyes. I think it would make an excellent, excellent Christmas present for a new quilter. And just to have all that information right at the fingertips is very current. Talks about the quilting industry as it is now. It's not an old-fashioned book. It's a very current and relevant book. A lot of the manufacturers, you know, Aurifil's in there, and Superior Threads, and, you know, stuff, products that we're dealing with now. Nothing's old-fashioned about this book. So I would definitely recommend it in your own library. Like I said, as someone who's been quilting for quite a few years, I definitely learned a lot of things from the book. And it also reinforced some things that maybe I had forgotten about or I should be doing that I'm not. So that was the book review. And again, the name of that book is The Quilter's Handy Guide to Supplies and More. And you can get that on the CNT website. The next book that I'll be reviewing for them in the next podcast is I can't remember the name of the book. Frosted Fairies? Felted Fairies? Hold on, I have to go look. I don't want to get this wrong. Hold on. I knew it was something with an F. Forest Fairy Crafts. Enchanting Fairies and Felt Friends from Simple Supplies. So this book is 28 projects that'll be perfect for me to do with Leah. She will absolutely love to create these little felt fairies. So I'll work on that for the next podcast. And also, I am in the middle of trying out a product called Wash Away Appliqué. And let's see, it says on the package, use this long roll of wash away fusible paper for larger areas of needle turn applique motifs. You can also print your design with your inkjet printer on it, trim, position, fuse your design right where you want it, and then wash away the paper, leaving crisp appliqued edges. And I also think that this is going to be so great because I do a lot of fusible, and your quilts and wall hangings and stuff can get kind of thick with the ones that are not wash away. So this is a 14 by 10 yard roll, and I will be trying that out on some pot holders this week. And also the next review I will have, not really quilt related, but is for the Build-A-Sign company. And I received from them a beautiful, beautiful 3x6 banner with my company logo on it and company information. It's beautiful. I haven't had a chance to photograph it, and I haven't had a chance to really write up my review of that. But for anyone who has a craft business, who's going to market or who goes to craft fairs, whatever, this would be great, and it's beautiful. So more information on that will be coming. One last thing about these books from C&T, they're also on Amazon. I just looked up. The Quilter's Handy Guide to Supplies and More is $15 paperback on Amazon. All right, moving on. If you are looking for something free and you like to thread sketch, you need to go over to Quilting Art's website and download the free ebook by Susan Brubaker Knapp, which is called Thread Sketching 101. This was an awesome, awesome freebie, and I'm so glad that I downloaded it. I really just like looking at all the textures in the pictures, and as someone who is really trying to increase my thread sketching, this is full of such great ideas. She's got her book, this ebook, broken down onto, like, the first chapter is focus on color, the second one is focus on line, focus on texture, focus on dimension, focus on pattern, focus on movement. The pictures of these quilts that she's done, oh my god, they're unbelievable. And I've gotten some great ideas. So I know I've mentioned before, Quilting Arts has lots of free ebooks. If you haven't signed up for their newsletter and stuff, you should. Every day, once, maybe twice, I get an email from them, and it is always something I'm inspired by, something to look at, something to download for free, something to watch the video of. It's really, really, really awesome. So go check that out. All right, I'm checking my notes. We still need to talk about this postcard swap. So I will do this. Let's say that if you are interested in swapping a holiday postcard, and I'll say holiday because that will encompass everyone's holidays, whatever you feel like doing, or just something winter themed. If you would like to participate in that, please send me an email, a message, a direct message on Twitter, something saying that you want to do it and what your address is. So if you want to sign up to do the postcard swap where you're going to make a postcard and you're going to take it to the post office and have it hand stamped, and you would like to swap one with somebody else, send me your name, last name too, and your address by, let's say, the end of October. Okay, so by Halloween, I need to know if you're participating, and I need to know your full name and address. I will match people up with some sort of random method that probably involves a hat and pieces of paper and my kids, and I will match people up, and then I will let you each know who you are swapping with. And then in the month of November, you can look at my brief tutorial, or Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us on her blog too. I'll look it up and get the link to that. We both showed how we made the postcards. And I want to say they were like 4x6 maybe. I did mine fusible. She pieced hers. No rules on creativity here, folks. Just whatever you want to make. They're very simple. You can even look up on Better Homes and Gardens, what's that magazine called? American Patchwork and Quilting. They had an excellent, excellent tutorial on making the fabric postcards. Lots of quilting arts does too, I'm pretty sure. Lots of places have tutorials. It's very simple, and it was so nice to receive a postcard from someone who I consider a friend in my quilting world. And I can't wait to pull mine out from Sandy again and display it. It was beautiful. So, you're going to send me your name and your address by the end of October. And then that first week, first couple days in November, I will get back to you and you will make your postcard. Please have your postcard in the mail to your swap partner by December 1st. That way, it gives the post office time to get them delivered. Sandy and I mailed them on the same day, and she received the one that I sent her before I got hers. In fact, it was a couple days, maybe a week before I got hers. I'm not sure. And she's New York and I'm Massachusetts, so didn't take that long. So if you can have them in the mail by December 1st-ish, we will all have them on time to display them in our homes for the holidays. And I will put all of this on the blog and on the Podbean website so you will know my email address and stuff to send. Most of you know how to get in touch with me anyway. It's SEWSANDI, the number 8, at yahoo.com. You can also leave me a comment on the show notes, whatever. You know how to get in touch with me. So let's do it. I think it's going to be so fun. So, so fun. Okay, let's talk about book club. For my last book club book, I just read And the Mountains Echoed by Khalid Hosseini. He is the author of The Kite Runner and A Thousand Splendid Suns. This book is along the same vein as the two other books. It takes place in Afghanistan. A beautiful book about intertwined lives. I don't know what to say about it, except it was a long book. And having read the other two books, I sort of knew what I was in for with this book. It was interesting and moving, and a book that you think about after you're done. There's a lot of twists and turns. I did have, about three quarters of the way through, the book switches in and out of people's viewpoints, perspectives. I did have a little bit of trouble at one or two chapters thinking, who's writing this? Who is this? Because two of the characters have the same name. So which one of these two people are they talking about? But it is an excellent book. If you enjoy Khalid Hosseini's, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, books in the past, you will definitely enjoy this one. And that was called And the Mountains Echoed. The other book that I read this month was Louise Penny's Still Life, which was the first one in the Inspector Gamache series. Everybody's always talking about how great those books are, and I wanted to find out for myself. I enjoyed the book very, very much. I am about to download the second one, which I think is called Fatal Grace. I'll have to double check. But as someone has told me, if you go on Goodreads and look up Louise Penny's name, you can get the order of all the books. And it was very good, and I definitely would recommend it. It's a good detective story. A nice, clean story. An interesting read. Something for, in between those more intense book club books. Trying to think of what we discussed at our last book club is kind of escaping me at the moment. I can't remember what we... Oh, Crazy Rich Asians. I think we talked about it in the last podcast. Yes, that was very good as well. So that is what I am reading. And I also would like to download my sister's book club is reading, and I would like to read as well. I think it's called The Husband's Secret, and it is by Leanne Moriarty, and she is who wrote What Alice Forgot. So if you read that book, which was an excellent book, you may want to also read this one. And I think on Kindle, it's not too much money right now. It might be like $5 on Kindle or something happening right now. So that's what's happening in my world of books. And I still have on my list to read Jojo Moyes, Me Before You, You Before Me, which however that goes. I would like to read that. And I know Tanisha's talked about that author. And she actually has a new one out too. I think Tanisha just reviewed that second book that she has out. So that's something I'd like to read. I'm still behind on Debbie May Comer books, like forever behind. I wanted to see the Cedar Cove TV series. My mother's watching them and loving them. I so wanted to see them. But I have to tell you, I'm not really a TV person. I never just sit down and say, oh, I'm going to sit here and watch this TV show. Unless it's with my husband and my daughter. We have three shows that we do watch. But oftentimes, because the week is busy with homework and whatever, stuff to do, finance meetings and this and that, we end up DVRing it all. And then, like, we'll just pick a Friday night and pick off, like, you know, four or five shows. So I would like to download those shows or somehow get a hold of them. So there's that. And then there's also the Elm Creek series, which I haven't kept up. There's just so many of those books, and I really read. I'm probably only two or three behind. And I would also like to read Jennifer Schiavarini's other book, Lincoln's Dressmaker. I forget the name of it, but it's not related to the Elm Creek series books. We talked about reading it in book club, but then we ended up choosing And the Mountains Echoed. So I would like to read that. Oh, so many books, so little time, right? Okay, let me check my list on my phone, my handy dandy list here. Oh, I wanted to mention, if you are going to Quilt Market and you go past booth number 315, that is the Quilt Woman booth. If someone out there, I know Allison mentioned she might be able to take some pictures for me. Tanisha, I think you're going for your 40th birthday. If somebody could take a picture of my quilts are hanging, I would so love to see it. Like an overall booth picture, and then if someone could just send me some pictures, I would be so appreciative. I so wish that I could be there myself, and I can't. So I'm going to rely on you girls. Thanks in advance. Booth 315, Quilt Woman. Okay, let's see, on my list, I think we've talked about almost, we didn't talk about my church quilting group. I quit my church quilting group, and I feel badly that I quit my church quilting group, but I just don't have time to work on those quilts plus everything else. So I feel bad about it, but when Wednesday comes and I have that extra hour and a half in the morning, I'm thrilled with myself. Terrible to say, but my kids are out of school at 1:50, and if I have to go pick them up, I have to leave, you know, early, like 1:40, 1:45-ish. The day just goes by so fast when I'm trying to do so many other things, so I had to let something go, and unfortunately that was it. But I'm sure they'll carry on without me, just as they've carried on for, I don't know, years and years and years without me ever being there. So I wish them good luck. Okay, I might wrap this up now. I had Project Life down to talk about. I am a big scrapbooker, and I went scrapbooking on Saturday with, I think there were nine of us, at my friend Sandy's house, and we had such a nice time. I had told myself that I would be okay if I just got six pages done the whole day, because this was like a 9 in the morning till 9 in the evening type deal, but we were eating and talking and generally catching up with each other, and you know, that all takes time. So I actually got 8 pages done. So I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm working on my middle daughter Lindsay's album. Each of my girls already has a scrapbooked baby album from birth to 1 year. And then I did an album that just included everything from 1 to age 12, I think, for Amanda. And it's a beautiful book. And there's some lovely, lovely letters written in there from family and friends to her. And it's just a book to treasure. And I would like to do one for each of my kids, but I can feel my scrapbooking slipping away from me. I really can. I didn't scrap any of my last year's Disney trip. I'm not planning on scrapping the Hawaii trip. It's time. I just don't have time. So, but I am working on Lindsay's album, and I am going to do one for Leah, and I think that will be good. In addition, I also try to keep up with the Project Life books, which basically is a binder with pre-made journaling cards, and you stick a picture in the slot with a journaling card. It's not fancy. You can make it fancy. I don't make it fancy because I just want it to be done. But I'm on my third year of it, and so for the last 3 years, I do have pictures. Every month I sit down. It used to be every day. It used to be every 2 weeks. Now it's every month. Unfortunately, I have not touched this now since the end of April. I'm 5 months behind, which horrifies me because I was doing such a good job with it. And I was capturing, basically, the entire year of my family's life. Which friends came to visit, who we had for dinner, where we went on vacation, day trips, people who, you know, were important to us, everyday photos, pictures of our house. Just craziness, mundaneness, it's all there. So it is such a worthwhile project. This is Becky Higgins' baby. This is her project. You can get some of the materials in, like, Michaels and stuff now, but I always just order it on Amazon. And I kept saying to myself, I'm just going to do 3 years. Then the girls would each have one, you know, to take with them when they move out or whatever, when I'm willing to give it up. But I don't know. If I don't, what am I going to do with my pictures? They're going to sit on a hard drive, and that's where they're going to live. And I'm a big photo person. In the last year, my photo skills haven't been that great. I've not really taken the time to set up shots and stuff like that. But my kids also don't really want their picture taken every 5 minutes. And I get that. I get it. I don't either. So I guess I'll have a decision to make at the end of the year as to whether I will continue with Project Life or not. The more I read Becky's blog, the more my friends start doing it, the more I want to do it. So that will be determined. But to aid me in my scrapbooking, my mom ordered me a Cricut Expression 2 die cutting machine, which is coming today, but it's for Christmas, so I'm not going to use it yet. I own the Pazzles machine, which is also a die cutting machine, but in order to run Pazzles, you have to hook it up to your computer with a laptop and a disk drive. So guess what? My laptop died. And guess what? I'm not replacing it yet because I have an iPad, but I can't run Pazzles off of that. I have a home computer that's on the desk, and my husband's a little bit, shall we say, anal about stuff on the desk. It's like it's his desk, and I just kind of rent space on it every once in a while because my desk is really in my sewing room. So I don't feel like I can set up this big machine on this computer. So then I find myself really without a die cut machine. I do have my Sizzix and stuff like that, but the Cricut machine will be perfect because it is self-contained. If you want to hook it up to your computer, go ahead. You can design on your big computer screen, whatever. If you just want to use their cartridges that have all the fonts and shapes on it, you don't have to hook it up to anything. That's what I like about it. It can live on my counter in my craft room, and I'll be very happy with it. So I'm psyched about that. So that's scrapbooking life. Do you guys scrapbook? Anyone out there scrapbook? Anyone do Project Life? Let me know. Let's talk about it. All right. So we're going on 38 minutes, which is probably long enough. And your job is to let me know if you want to participate in the holiday postcard swap. And my job is to review a few more things to bring you interesting content for this podcast for next time. If there's something you would like to talk about or you want to ask me about in the podcast, by all means, please do so. Let me know. We'll talk about it. If I don't have the answer, I'll get the answer. I'll find it. I'll research it. You know me. I like to research things. So that's it. Have a good couple of weeks. I will look forward to talking to you on Twitter. I'm Quilt Cabana there. On Facebook, I'm Quilt Cabana Patterns. On my website, www.quiltcabanapatterns.com. On the blog, which is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog. And through regular email. So have a great couple of weeks, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.